All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John.
Hey now.
Gentlemen, did we have breakfast?
I had a muscle milk, cookies and cream.
You had too much to drink last night and felt bad about yourself.
Yeah. I went to the gym.
Some kind of is that kind of recovery drink?
What? No, it's just I went to the gym and sweated out some of the booze from our live rabble last night.
I don't like muscle milk. I don't like those words together.
Yeah, it's
kind of gross.
Like if you put moist muscle milk there, it'd be like the worst thing you could say.
Well, to me, it's clearly a milkshake.
Yeah. But it's for your muscles.
But they claim, I feel like you could go to McDonald's and you could order a muscle milkshake, and it's the same thing. It's just the protein of the milk.
Right. I drank a muscle milk. It was cookies and cream.
But you actually worked out?
Yeah, I worked out. I hit a heavy bag for about 30 minutes and sweated out some of that booze from our Memphis Grizzlies watch party last night.
Official.
Yeah, we were sponsored.
Memphis Grizzlies.
And maybe the only one that we get to do.
I haven't heard any feedback if they want to sever the relationship.
And they're about to outlaw lifestyle on the court. Why not hire a bunch of scofflaws to
Goon Squad?
We'll be their Goon Squad broadcasters. But we'll see how it goes. But we had a blast. We were at Jed's.
Amongst a few that actually admire this style of horrible play.
Yeah, we love them.
We're the best they can do.
But we're at Jed's Bar and Grill last night for our live Grizzlies watch party rabble. We all got a little twisted. I spilled 30 beers at once.
You kicked over a bucket of beer.
Full bucket. During
and it was hilarious because we had set it up. Yeah. We had set it up to the audience that Chuck can't be near any of the podcasting and the PA equipment.
I told.
Because Chuck will knock it over or unplug it all. Mm-hmm.
I told our bartender, Dale, the Hangman Albright, not to put those beers near Chuck, and he did it.
He still did.
And then we had one minor technical difficulty, and then Chuck jumps up, kicks over the entire buckets of beer.
In my defense, I sprang to action.
You did.
And I solved that problem without.
You can't teach that. It's training.
It was
training.
Didn't even think.
John, did you have a breakfast this morning?
By this morning, you mean nary 20 minutes ago.
Yes. John is the late riser of the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Well, that watch party took a lot out of me. I feel I was the most sober. Because I hadn't had any alcohol in like 2 weeks, it really took a lot out of me.
I think you think...
Also didn't have a car, so I just kind of just hid.
You think I was more drunk than I was, because you haven't seen me had more than like one or two drinks ever.
I guess so.
Yeah.
My last interaction with you, I did not respond to what you said. I shook my head and I left.
I think you were showing me highlights.
I went, man, Keith is gone.
I was just excited about Steph Curry half-court shots.
Oh, man. Keith jumped out of his seat when he saw
that. It's my dream.
It is. We don't watch a lot of basketball together, so it's kind of surprising to see you.
You haven't seen all my real reactions when the half-court shots go. I'm a little kid.
You're just a little kid.
You look like Woody from Toy Story when they shoot
him. I'm my son when he first saw a helium balloon. And when he saw a balloon floating in a room, lost his mind.
That's incredible.
Just couldn't stop laughing. So you had...
Panda Express.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Breakfast of champions.
And with a little aperitif of crab rangoon.
Although, honestly, if you went and worked out, I think you could either have Panda Express or a muscle milk cookies and cream.
It's literally the exact same nutritional value.
I cannot stop sweating after eating it.
Mm-hmm. He's got this glistening lip.
It's a glaze.
You do have a bit of a glaze.
It's duck sauce.
Well, it's normally cold down in our podcast area in the basement of my house. It's a little warmer today. We got a front.
It's warm while pouring rain.
Yeah, so it's like muggy a little bit, but it's a terrible, awful day. We had to go to Guitar Center.
Feels like Scotland. Oh, Guitar Center was bad.
We had some equipment that we thought was bad, but Keith just brought the wrong power supply last night. So
I mean, point of order: the equipment only works when we drop it from a height.
And last week, we
turn on one of these interfaces we're using.
Guitar Center is amazing though, because those people. They do not even take into account who you may or may not be.
Well, Nashville Guitar Center, and this is probably the same in like an LA or New York. Just an interesting place. Hard to put your finger on it.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody's in there like playing Future Dragon songs.
I mean, like Future Dragon guys probably are working in there.
Future Dragon is Guitar Center, the band.
Yeah.
But we asked a couple of people. It was good to go with Chuck, because Chuck would just go up to him and be like, "Yo, I have no idea. I got a picture."
We have a podcast. How do we make it work?
I'll use the terms, and they'll be like, I'll be like, I'm looking for like a preamp thing for our podcast. He'd be like, oh, you mean a preamp mic box? And I was like, yeah, I said that. That's what I said.
Right. Those are the words I used.
And I mean, it took everything in my body not to go, hey, buddy, I make a living making music. What the hell are you doing with your life?
You work at Guitar Center.
What are you doing?
Meanwhile, I show up and go, hey, man, I have a podcast. I need to make this thing talk to this thing.
And Chuck would get in these long conversations with these holes, and I would just go up to Chuck and be like, get away from him. He's like trying to sell you a $1,000 microphone.
Right.
But Chuck was like, and Chuck's like carrying around this $300 thing. I was like, Chuck, you're not buying that. He's like, this could be a pretty, system.
We do need to, do need those better mics. We're going to save up our monthly allowance and we will pay for one in 10 years.
I was like, Chuck, the thing we need is $60. That's $400. Put that back.
Yeah.
And he was like, but we could use it just for today. I'm like, what are you saying?
I'm going to return it tomorrow.
Just return it.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. We need to start just borrowing.
Renting equipment.
Can we rent a center some of this stuff?
I do that for music videos and stuff. I'll go like buy really expensive clothes for the whole band, wear one time, return that junk.
Tuck them tags, dog.
Yeah. All right. So you had Panda Express.
What'd you have, Keith?
Well, I had a glass of grape juice and some sweet tart jelly beans.
Concord grape juice?
Eat like a child.
Yeah.
Do you have some banana num-nums too?
Getting whatever it was, becoming an adult and having the ability to spend money, I'm still the novelty hasn't worn off.
Yeah. Do you still get excited watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
That movie's scary.
No. I can go to the store and it's like I'm at Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. They have all the stuff there. And I'm like, you mean I can buy all the candy I want?
Yeah.
But honestly, I can't always. This is a seasonal item.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet tart jelly beans only out in the Easter season.
Oh. Sweet tart jelly beans are awesome.
They are incredible.
Oh. They are so good.
So they actually weren't at my local Kroger. My wife spotted them at one of the nicer Krogers.
I thought you could only get them waiting in line at TJ Maxx.
Brings home every bag they had.
Whoa.
That is a good woman.
Nah, that's why you keep her.
Anyway, all right, so those were our breakfasts.
Or a diabetic.
And if you say... point of order, those weren't really breakfasts. Uh-uh. I guess you could argue Chuck's is kind of a breakfast. People have tricked themselves into thinking.
Mm-hmm. This podcast is a sham.
Well, it was also cookies and cream.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like Muscle Milk tries to pretend they're like
a healthy
thing. The next person
says Muscle Milk, I will whip something in their face.
But then they throw cookies in the cream
God
to let you know
it's
a total joke.
Yeah.
They're just taking all the grossest words.
Cookies, cream, muscles, and milk.
All right.
Shouldn't go together.
Why don't you just put sputum in the middle of that?
Moist sputum, muscle, milk, cookies, and cream flavor.
That reminds me. So during our illness last week, and thank you everyone who checked with us, we are fine now.
People were really worried.
However, when I went to the doctor last week, I had medical students who came in with the doctor.
With sputum?
And but one of the medical students, one of her first questions to me was, excuse me, but did you have sputum? Oh. I'm like, you're not supposed to ask that. You're supposed to put it into more colloquial, simpler terms.
This is like my dad.
Like are you coughing anything up?
My dad's a veterinarian.
Right.
And like my dad's the type of guy who will hit you in the face with a spoon if you are gross at the dinner table. He will reach over and blast you in the face. But if he uses medical terms, he'll talk about like sawing a baby cow's head off. But he will use only medical terms, and he thinks that's fine. You know what? Sputum is just as gross to say aloud as snot.
Oh,
I think
maybe grosser.
I would say grosser.
Yeah.
It is a horrible sounding word. And if I didn't know what it meant, I would just assume the worst.
Right.
Right.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, sputum sounds like a Michael Crichton novel.
That's neither here. Yeah, it kind of does. So anyway, after our breakfasts,
right,
we eventually get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity.
There could be so many.
To make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous podcast. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I've been a little down on D'Angelo Russell. I didn't think that he was one of the better picks at the top of the draft this year, but he's turned out a couple great games.
When Byron Scott is forced to play him,
he has no options.
I immediately judged him in July and decided he was terrible.
Right.
You summer leagued him.
I summer league judged him.
Yeah.
You sure did.
Put him down.
Like everyone else.
And I felt the same way. And
he's like the fourth best rookie this year.
Yeah. It stinks that, he has the second pick, junk laying over him.
Yep.
And with a guy like Porzingis getting picked after him, who kind of turns heads and was from the beginning.
The wall.
Yeah, he's hit that
rookie wall.
Rookie wall, which kind of it makes sense.
Kristaps has gone Judas on us.
He has, and Karl-Anthony Towns,
Big Cat ain't slowing down.
He's not. He's looking good.
Oh,
But that's also maybe Sam Mitchell being super smart.
I would say all that. Oh, we could probably all apologize to Sam Mitchell for holding.
We talked about it
back for so long, but he's so fresh and he's crushing 28 and 12 every night.
And we were talking about that early in the year. We said that maybe Sam Mitchell was keeping his minutes down for that. I know. I don't think it's
Sam Mitchell and Byron Scott are probably the two worst coaches in the NBA.
Mm.
I'm biting my lip thinking.
You're probably right. We're focusing on our apology.
Yeah. So D'Angelo Russell, he had a career high season high so far. It was, I guess, 39 or something the other night.
He had 39 points?
Yeah.
In one basketball game.
In a single basketball game. So, yeah.
Holy jamoli.
He's looked great. He looks like a very talented,
high basketball IQ for
his shot looks strange to me, but he's been killed. Like, he's shooting, I don't know what his percentage is. I want to say it's like 48% over the last month or two from three-point land. Like, he has been playing great.
So, that's my apology. Sorry,
great,
D'Angelo.
Great for a Laker.
For a Laker.
Yeah, I got it.
Which is like the looter in a riot.
You SOBs have complimented Byron Scott and Sam Mitchell. We're going to be apologizing for these remarks.
I'm trying to give myself something to talk about next week.
I apologize for podcasting last week. I probably had 102 fever.
John was worse than all of us.
I even prepared and still couldn't get my stats correct. I don't really remember. I tried to bring up all Oklahoma City blown leads, but I think I said that they'd lost 40 games in a row or something.
Yeah. So you were trying to say in your fevered stupor, you were attempting to say that the Oklahoma City Thunder had blown as many fourth quarter leads as the 76ers.
Right.
Which it just came across as they'd lost several games in a row or something.
I think I just started making Joe Pesci bah, bah, bah noises.
Right.
In the middle of whatever I was trying to say. So I'm sorry.
Should have got your shine box.
I'm going to
make up for it. I have brought no stats this week.
I'm going to apologize to our listeners and the Utah Jazz. I have been bully on the Jazz all year. I have been I bought stock all season. Mm-hmm. I said they're hurt, they're banged up, but I think this team is strong. I think this team could push to the five spot. I think this team could upset, win a first round series because of that front court, that backbone of the team. They'll get just enough from their backcourt to be able to upset somebody, play that great D, get that Quinn Snyder murder face, and really do some things. And I am now selling all my stock.
Yeah.
I'm giving it away.
You're selling low.
I really am. They have drifted to almost three games out of the playoff, and it's even hard to call it a playoff race.
Right.
The Grizzlies are done. The Mavs are falling apart.
Grizzlies going to make them playoffs.
The Rockets aren't even playing great, and they've extended this lead over the Jazz. I've seen...
The Rockets hate each other and are doing better than the
Rockets.
The
Rockets abhor each other. Like, they there's no way any of them text outside of
there are three. There are three really well known, well respected teams that are filled with players that despise each
outside
other.
Outside of Sam Decker sharing the Dwight Howard photo,
and those two get so bro-y on the bench. They're just
so
like
bro.
Slap play fighting,
bro.
Dude, they're bro-ing up. They're getting bro-mancing.
How many times do you think bro is said at a practice for the Rockets?
I think
more or less than a Clippers practice.
Definitely.
I think
more.
Clippers, they're like,
because I listen to the JJ Redick podcast, and he's a lot of bro.
He's super bro.
God, he's the worst.
Bro.
I mean, it would have been
his podcast.
He has a watch podcast.
I don't want you to, I don't want to push you guys to other podcasts. His podcast is great.
Is it?
He's really good.
Isn't it about watches?
You've told me he loves watches. I haven't heard him talk about it.
Yeah. Maybe it was a fad.
But
he likes watches.
So I'm going to apologize to the Jazz for believing in them.
Yeah.
However, for Utah fans who might be listening, this could be a good thing. Normally, when I'm finally pushed to announce one thing, it turns. So this could be the thing that they can pivot their season on, is I've officially declared them done.
For longtime listeners, we call that the Parrish line.
Yep.
Early last year, it was pretty much money to bet against what Keith picked.
Yeah.
And John made a bunch of cash that way.
Keith watches a lot of basketball, but here's the thing. Keith is very stupid.
I can only rehash what I've seen. Yeah. I cannot put that knowledge to any future use.
Well, who knew that building around Derek Favors and a bunch of woefully inefficient shooters wouldn't work?
That was your all-star Derek Favors, John.
Hey, he's the best player they got.
Yeah, he is. Well, Block Chirac.
But even believe in Block Chirac has just been...
Gobert's been average at best.
Struggling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Now, before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. Fan Essentials is a subscription service for the NBA fan where you can get gear for any NBA team you want sent to your house every month. They have...
Even the Jazz.
Even the Jazz. They have two options starting at $14.99. And if you enter the code FBBF, you get a discount and we get a little taste of your order. So get all the essentials you need. Go to fanessentials.net.
You're going to buy that Jazz hoodie anyways. Might as well get it sent to your door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saves you the process of shopping.
I like the grab bag aspect of it.
Yeah, I think you always get a shirt, and then there's other just various
keychains.
That's 12 shirts a year, folks.
It's a lot of shirts.
I only have like this one crappy Memphis shirt.
That cuts down on laundry.
I need more.
For sure.
All right, so steak and eggs, gentlemen. What is the best thing we saw in the last week?
I didn't see this, but I hear tell of George Karl pulling a little Royal Tenenbaum in Sacktown.
We're going that way.
You might this reference actually. Well, just keep going.
He gets chewed out by Boogie.
Our listeners figure out the reference.
Mm-hmm. He gets chewed out by Boogie so badly that Boogie gets suspended. And George Karl, you know what he does? He goes, "Hey, guess what? My cancer's back." How you feel now, Boogie? You just made fun of me and my cancer.
Yeah, well, I'm not laughing at George Karl going in for cancer treatment.
Oh, he doesn't really have cancer.
We're laughing at the idea that George Carl's like, "Oh, you just berated me on television? Well, I have to go get a cancer treatment tomorrow."
I got cancer. Yeah.
Sorry, bud.
I'm going to use this on Chuck the next time Chuck.
It's like a lesson.
Me, I'm going to go, "Chuck, my cancer's back."
So it's a lesson. Sorry. My dad was teaching me a lesson where when I was snotty kid Keith was speaking, this is a really weird example. Right. I was speaking ill of the composer Chopin. Because I'm a piano player, and as a 10-year-old kid, I was like, I was at my aunt's house, and I was like, "I hate Chopin. He's terrible," or something. My dad pulled me aside and was like, "Keith, Chopin is your aunt's favorite composer," and I felt terrible. And then my dad says, "Not really, but you should be careful what you say around people."
I want to say your dad is terrible. But one time my parents enacted a neighborhood-wide conspiracy because I mooned a girl, and my dad and these other parents convinced me I was going to jail for sexual harassment.
Well, I will tell you right now, that lesson did not stick.
No, it
didn't. Because you love trying to flash and
which happened today, show your body off. Matter of fact.
Well, I don't feel like you guys are comfortable enough with my body.
No, I'm definitely not.
No, that's very, very accurate.
So I'm teaching you life lessons.
Very accurate.
John once again tried to flash me, surprising, when I came to pick him up today before the podcast. He opened the door,
and I just knew. Chuck comes to my door like the See No Evil monkey now.
just cover my eyes.
Covers everything up.
Knock and cover the eyes. And he turned around.
This isn't at no cost to me. I get in trouble for those wet footprints on the floor every time. When Chuck's coming to pick me up to take me to the podcast, because I can't take care of myself and don't drive anywhere and leave my car everywhere, I immediately get in the shower, and then I wait until he knocks the door, and then I sprint out and hopefully catch him. I try to show Chuck what Brown can do for him.
Mm. So my dad's lesson stuck. Your dad's lesson did not stick. No. I don't know what that says about either one of us.
No.
I'm not mooning any girls. Me and Peyton Manning do not moon women.
my steak and eggs this week, it's got to be my favorite NBA player, Tony Allen. Oh. With the Tony Allen game, scoring over 20 points for the first time in 4 years.
Incredible.
Tying a career high with 11 made field goals. Also had his handful of steals. Helped the Hateful Eight, the Goon Squad. The Grizzlies had their last good moment of the season. I'm calling, and upset the Cavaliers.
What a game!
The Tony Allen benchmark games, like the Oklahoma City grit grind game, the game two against the Warriors last year, the first team all defense game. I think those three games are maybe my three favorite regular season games. Just period.
Yeah.
I have the softest of spots for Tony Allen, and when he does his thing and is running amok, shutting down the other team on defense, but then scoring on offense in a way that, like, Matthew Dellavedova and J.R. Smith are saying, can someone help and double team? Or because this guy, this madman is driving straight at me. So that was my favorite thing.
This brings up something that I'm curious. Do all NBA teams have a Tony Allen? Because if you ask a Grizzlies fan who their favorite Grizzly is, like 50% of Grizzlies fans will say Tony Allen.
Yeah.
He's not a super well-known player. He's not an all-star. Are there people like who love Luke Babbitt for their team?
Yeah,
does every team have
there's
one of these
there's
guys?
A bunch of floppy.
Is there
headed...
a guy like that for the Heat, Chuck? Because yeah. I don't ever.
Udonis has him. He's that guy. No, in our world, and especially in Miami, UD's from the streets. He's from the 305, and
he doesn't play anymore though.
He doesn't, which is a big thing. But each team needs that enforcer.
Tony will get there, John.
Yeah, Tony will be the guy who's on the back of the.
We're
bench.
A year or two away from.
Yeah.
We thought Tony was headed that way this year. For
yeah,
a
he
while.
Is now going to be your point guard, ladies and gentlemen. We have Mario
point
Chalmers
guard,
out.
Point God, Vince Carter.
Oh, it was so ugly last night.
I see. I don't know if every team has. I think. I mean,
I don't think they do.
Every team has a fan favorite at times, but it rotates. But I think in Memphis they've caught lightning in a bottle, or they've something has caught on there, and this man has become the team mascot.
Like,
the
grind for instance, father. Udonis Haslem, I don't think 50% of Heat fans would say he's their favorite player. They've got Bosh.
Well,
you're
maybe
right,
I mean,
right.
I mean, if you survey the real ones,
for instance,
not the ones leaving, you know,
for instance,
start of the fourth quarter.
We just did our Grizz watch party,
right?
Who was on the cover of that? That we didn't choose. These images,
right.
Tony Allen was the team sanctioned,
but also
watch party guy.
I also think with Zach Randolph, you have a lot. I don't know. It's hard to say, but he is definitely something akin to a team mascot that fires up most people. There are still fans like for every franchise.
He's
that,
the little
loudmouth
from the Bad News Bears. He's everyone's favorite character.
Yeah, Chuck, what's your steak and eggs?
My steak and eggs is the possible return of Chris Bosh.
Such great news.
For reasons outside of basketball, he says, and this is according to Chris Reynolds, that he has no more active blood clots, and he remains hopeful for returning this season.
Don't put him on planes.
I think that would be a thing.
Go to Denver.
He'll just do the Roger Clemens only.
Oh, hell
only
yeah.
Play home games.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe take bus trips to Orlando if
like
he has
Andre
to.
Andre the Giant.
Yeah. It would be. I think it would help him. It would be good for the
John
team.
John Madden didn't get on any planes.
It's true. He also played once a week.
Get that bush. Bosh bus.
That Bosh bush. That's what we need him and DJ Khaled.
I would follow that thing around. Yeah, put DJ Khaled on that thing. Hell, we'll trade him to Lance Stevenson. Let's make it a party.
But big picture, if he does come back and is you know, able to contribute something, you kind of could see them getting into maybe late playoff series games with, you know, second or third round.
The Heat are awesome.
Yeah, they look great.
The Heat are looking really good.
It's a legit defensive powerhouse.
I would question, though, they're a team where it seems like the more players they have, the worse they are.
Yeah.
They've been better without him, which
so,
I can't believe.
So even though Chris Bosh is clearly a great player, clearly one of the most talented
most
NBA
underrated
players.
NBA player ever.
He really could be.
He could be.
Like, he is not regarded how he should be. The esteem he's held does not,
him,
it's not commensurate
him
with his
taking
performance.
Him taking the third banana role affected his legacy.
And
because people did not think he was amazing.
Uh-huh. In Toronto before he got there.
Well, I mean, I'm saying when he got to Miami, I remember having discussions with people asking me, like, is Chris Bosh better than this guy? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Bosh, like Serge Ibaka or Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
And people were like, Serge Ibaka. I'm like, no.
In that
like,
summer.
Chris Bosh was that
so
Sam Presti who said that to you?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
I mean, that summer, you're absolutely right. People were, because Amari Stoudemire was free agent, people were discussing, would you rather have Amari or Chris Bosh? And that's laughable at this
Chris
point.
Chris Bosh, also underrated character.
No, a real great guy.
Real strange person.
And funny.
Funny, introspective, a
some
great
of those all-star
interview.
Videos he
looks,
made?
Looks like, looks like a dinosaur.
And he actually
kinda
cares.
Got that raptor.
He actually cares.
About
probably
Rubik's Cubes.
The biggest rebound
C++.
In Miami Heat history against the San Antonio Spurs.
The kick out to Ray Allen?
Yeah. So thank you, Chris Bosh, for being healthy.
I think
as a fan and as somebody who roots for you personally, I hope you do better.
I got $250 on the Heat to win the division, so come on back.
The best thing is that he's healthy.
Yeah.
Also, your best thing being he might play again shows the sad state of our podcast's morale. We're just you like the best thing is Chuck actually has hope.
Yeah,
can we get
it.
One of his players might come?
Can we
back.
Get to the cream of wheat of you?
Yeah. So you now the cream of wheat, worst of week. What is the worst thing that occurred to you in the NBA this
Mario
week?
Mario Chalmers blew out his Achilles backpedaling.
Yeah.
Sorry, Don Rio.
It wasn't even a cool injury. Like, he wasn't diving for a ball. He wasn't, you know, doing something heroic. Just backpedaling.
Well, I mean, that's a
heard a pop.
That's it. That's how the Achilles go. It's not official as of we're taping, but it's official.
Yeah.
My coach used to yell at me because I didn't like to backpedal. Who's laughing now? Never backpedaled ever.
And you look great.
Yeah. It paid off for you.
And I wanted to say I have two fully functional Achilles. That's not true.
Yeah, as the sweat glistens off your forehead.
I think I'm having a prolonged heart attack right now.
Well, my cream of wheat, worst of week, is similar.
Yeah.
It's injury related.
To hell with these injuries.
There's been so many injuries.
Legalize HGH.
Absolutely.
Legalize it.
As long as it's administered by...
Heal the world.
As long as it's administered by a responsible, non-biased doctor, I would prefer it not be administered by a team doctor. Yeah.
Dr. Jellyfinger.
I would want it to be a doctor who has the interest of keeping the person healthy.
Like Doctor Who.
I don't see...
The doctor.
Anyway, my cream of wheat worst thing, OJ Mayo.
Oh.
Contract year.
Yeah.
I had high hopes.
You were into Mayo light.
I had high hopes for contract year OJ Mayo. He showed up in training camp looking all svelte. And then a little into the season, he cut his hair all short, made him look all young. I thought OJ Mayo would do some things because of the rising cap /
onions.
I assumed that he would, you know, at least put together a productive stretch, stay healthy, and get paid this offseason. So not only has he been struggling with little injuries here and there, now he has fallen down his stairs.
Ouch.
And broken his ankle, which that sounds like he's either drunk or...
I bet he owed Jason Kidd some money. Well, and Jason Kidd put the hurt on him.
It does sound more like a domestic violence case.
Pay
where it's
your
like,
debts, OJ.
You tell the cops, oh, I fell on my stairs.
Orenthal James mayonnaise.
So I'm sad. Contract year OJ never came to fruition.
Let's
and
file.
Now he's out for the year.
Can we file a contract year OJ Mayo hopes under Keith is stupid again?
I mean, my hopes were not... I wasn't betting on OJ being great, but I did have hopes.
I'm excited about like Keith getting like into like contract year Brandon Jennings next year.
Oh man.
It seems like now that the Grizzlies are going to have to file an injury hardship to get a roster extension, and the Bucks are also going to do an injury... It seems like maybe you could just combine. Maybe we could just combine the Bucks and the Grizzlies.
Oh, that team would be amazing.
It'd be so good.
Giannis Antetokounmpo and Tony Allen slapping the floor in unison.
That's great.
Yep.
Vince Carter somehow getting lots of minutes because Jason Kidd is as foolish as Dave Yeager.
That's funny. My worst, there was a few things. David Jones baiting Darren Williams into a technical. Not
he apologized.
He did. But
what did he do? I missed this.
Great video. He basically just baited Darren Williams, you know, got into his grill, started barking at him. And
referee David,
that's your worst of the week?
No. I was there's a litany of things.
Okay.
These are one of the things
you
that
play basketball with me. I can draw a technical like nobody's business.
I like David Jones. Actually, I like that ref just because of his demeanor.
Yeah.
Something about his demeanor. He always seems very calm and like easygoing. But yeah, he like kind of tricked Darren Williams, like he followed him into a huddle and like kind of messed with him. But
I bet it was a hair joke.
But it is funny that like this is not the norm with NBA refs. He actually was allowed, like he asked the refs, you know, or whoever, the officials, to be like, I would like to apologize to the Mavs. So he apparently realized that he probably did something wrong.
We're living in a post Crawford suspension world.
That's great.
Yeah.
But Tim Donaghy didn't do anybody any favors.
My real worst is the
Scott Foster still refs. What the hell?
Golden State Warriors
so bad
losing to the Los Angeles Lakers.
They had their lunch money taken.
That was
on national television.
One of the most incredible games,
Byron Scott,
that we I've ever watched.
Did you hear him talking about how masterful his game planning was?
This was like the Mighty Ducks v Iceland in the youth World Cup.
This will sound stupid, but the way the Lakers played them is the only way to play the Golden State Warriors and hope to win. And you have to be hyper aggressive on the turnover front.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson go 2-for-80 from three.
That helps.
And
I think they only made one.
And hope
them.
Draymond Green was so hungover that he was questionable for the following game.
Whoa.
Like he was so.
part of me thinks that maybe they went to like Koreatown and got some bibimbap and
bibimbap,
got some like some bad stomach bug or something. And they
can we go back to Mighty Ducks? Them making Iceland the evil bad guy country is one of the strangest country casting. Have you ever been to Iceland?
Disney
a beautiful, lovely people.
Disney, like,
they've never been an aggressor in any international conflict.
Keith, Disney is so ballless they won't even make
Russia
the bad guys in movies because Disney thinks that then the Russians will attack.
Disney was like 400,000 people live in Iceland. That'll be
we
fine.
We can afford for no them one, not to like us.
Mighty Ducks versus Liechtenstein.
They might.
Mighty Ducks versus Monaco.
Vatican City.
Mighty Ducks versus that one country that's just one guy who has like a radio station.
Lesotho. We're playing Kiribati. Look how big those guys are.
That's funny. So yeah, that was my worst. Golden State, that was the first time sub-200 team loses to or beats a plus-900 team.
Dude, Golden
NBA
State
history.
Hates playing against bad teams. Remember when they went to overtime against the Nets, almost lost to the Sixers, did lose to the Bucks?
Yep.
That's their style, though. That's the same way the 72-win Bulls did.
Yeah,
72 wins lost to that Raptors team that just got created.
Yeah.
Right.
They did. And the Heat, when they had their 27-game win streak, the closest games they had were to the bums because nobody stepped up, and it was kind of like a yawner game where nobody put in the effort. And those are the games you lose in the NBA.
Yeah. All right. So those were our cream of wheat worst of weeks. All right, real quick, we'll run around any other spare thoughts we have in the Cocked It Back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. Anything else going on in the league?
Oh, man.
Kevin, I feel like we covered it all.
Kevin Martin.
do you, John?
Kevin Martin's a Spur. If that doesn't
Kevin Martin
hurt
and Andre
more.
Miller a Spur.
Yeah.
I was kind of sad to see Rasual Butler go. I actually thought he was doing all right for the Spurs. But
but when they can add players like the professor and the once free throw master Kevin Martin, I can see why you would leave.
He's a corner three guy who can, I think, learn that system defensively quickly and kind of fit in.
He was
by the playoff.
His
runs.
Last and what's funny is before the buyout or before the trade deadline, Kevin Martin barely looked like he belonged on an NBA court. Like he was bumbling around.
Yeah, he looked done.
He looked terrible. Like couldn't pass, couldn't dribble. Those never been his strengths, but he was always competent.
But now that he's in scorer. Pop's eugenics program,
but once he's
gonna have like 3 30-point games
plugged up to the Spurs machine.
The rejuvenation.
It's very similar. I think I saw someone point out that in the other five Spurs title runs, they picked up similar random old dudes.
Yeah. Bollocks to that, boys.
I mean, that was part of the Heat's strategy. You pick up a Birdman that turned into a thing.
Birdman.
You just pick up those guys off of the when the buyouts happen. Everybody kind of works it. Go to the best team and get to your chance to get your ring. And Kevin Martin's never even sniffed the finals, so it works for him if he tries to.
No,
get
that's
to the team
that's an understatement.
And it's
been a Timberwolf for God's sake.
And it looks kind of interesting right now the way the season's playing out because the Spurs have the opportunity, if they win out, to definitely beat the Jordan Bulls 72-10 record.
They're still technically in the chase.
They are. And if they win out and beat Golden State the next three times they play, because Golden State does play them three times, they will have Golden State lose or tie the Bulls record and then beat them, which is the Spurs' way for them to have the all-time greatest record
that's
in NBA
so
history.
They're not going to beat the Warriors.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Three times?
They're not going to take them out three times.
Well, with Kevin Martin now, who knows?
we alluded to it, but Joey Crawford has officially hung it up. He's still working in the Secaucus. You'll see him every now and then wearing some stupid NBA recycled t-shirt.
And that's exactly where the likes of Joey Crawford belongs.
Where he should be.
In the worst part of the NBA.
But I would say behind the scenes, off camera, actually using his knowledge for good.
Man, nothing good happens in Secaucus, though. They just drag games out and make me miserable.
Yeah.
I'm also similarly in a dark place regarding the NBA reviews.
I pause the game, go take care of some business, and come back because I know I'm going to need to fast forward for a while.
Yeah.
The NBA, being an entertainment product, has made the most exciting theoretically moments of their games
the worst.
Pretty terrible. This will cheer you up, John.
You rather do? Experience a clear path foul review or get cut by a small blade?
I want all clear path reviews done.
Gone.
Just
the idea, one, if like if you knock the ball free and you're clearly running away to be able to pick it up and you get grabbed, that's not a clear path foul,
mm-hmm.
even though it clearly has stopped you from getting a dunk. But then you have these plays where like the player's in front of the guy and then he goes around him and then he reaches out and fouls him and then they review that.
The flagrant foul reviews for intent? That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane that they try to do that. Everything looks horrible and malicious in slow-mo. You can eat cereal in slow-mo, and it makes you look
I would not malevolent. Want to watch you eat cereal.
I don't eat cereal.
Yeah.
No milk in these.
No, I wanted to
cheer... this pudding.
I wanted to cheer you up. I don't even know if you saw this highlight, because this happened while we were doing our Grizzlies Watch Party rabble.
Unlikely, then.
Chris Paul punched Kevin Durant.
Oh, I did see
in
that.
The jewels. This is kind of your thing.
Yeah. Run them jewels fast.
Ball puncher from way back.
This is one of Chris Paul's... This should at least go on his basketball reference page.
He's a yam bag handler. That people like get on Chris Paul's junk. That guy is dirty as the day is long.
He's dirty. Yeah. I still like. He's a guy I like cheering against, but yeah, he's also sure. a guy I really, really enjoy watching play.
He's incredible.
He's so good.
But he will straight up punch you in the sack, man.
Yep,
he'll do it. He and Nick Batum. At least Nick Batum did it once. Chris Paul's done it every careful. Level of the game.
Yep. Yeah, I'd like to talk about this. This if Tony Allen hadn't pulled the best game of offensive game of his life out. I would be talking about my boy Nikola Jokic.
Jokic.
Utterly destroying Lord Porzingis.
The formerly fat Nick Jokic.
That man just probably drank a bunch of muscle milk.
Ooh.
Damn you both.
Cookies and cream.
But the Nuggets are looking solid, and it is. A lot of it is Jokic is just he's again, it's like Porzingis hit the wall. Jokic wasn't playing early in the season,
right.
And now he's getting his game on. And
if Chalmers injury hadn't transpired, this Jimmy Butler injury would really be bumming me out more.
It's the Jimmy Butler thing. The Bulls have fallen out of the playoff positioning.
Right.
And Jimmy Butler has a chronic something.
Yeah.
Like a foot.
He's going to have to go under the knife.
And they keep saying that like they're going to take their time on his return. I think, this Bulls are shutting it down despite Pau Gasol throwing up massive triple-doubles.
Yeah,
I'm getting ready for that Gasol brothers reunion in Memphis.
Oh, you know he's coming.
We're gonna light a candle to the base god.
We're gonna stalk the Gasol brothers like Aaron Andrews. At this point, we will find them in the wild.
That's it.
I'll go to their peepholes.
You'll drill a hole in the adjoining hotel room.
They can have my $55 million.
It was the hotel that paid her $55 million.
Half the hotel and half. The stalker.
Yeah.
I keep a very keen eye on all stalking cases for personal reasons.
We'll not get into why.
Just a follows away. The Bucks, I feel like it's worth talking about.
Point guard?
One.
Point guard Giannis Antetokounmpo?
The point guard is
they're scoring
taking
five,
over.
5 points more a game.
But it's also Jabari Parker has learned the ropes, ladies and gentlemen. And he is an offensive force.
Yeah.
Well, when
he looked good against the Heat.
The rest of the team is trying desperately to stop a crashing 6'11" spider monkey from dunking on you. Your jumpers are pretty open.
Yeah. He did get a little frisky with Amari Stoudemire last night.
Yeah.
And Amari got
a little fresh.
He said, "Calm down there, boy." And it was kind of interesting.
Amari Stoudemire has lost fights with the fire extinguishers. Why is Jabari Parker scared of
him? Well, so Jabari, who was rookie year lost to injury, and then early this year was so lost on defense that he seemed like he's kind of hurting him, and he wasn't really having the offensive firepower to compensate for how bad he was on defense. Now that they're opening up the team, they've handed there's no more Michael Carter Williams, so they've handed it off to Tumko. On Antetokounmpo.
Don't worry about it.
It's so hard.
Don't worry about it.
And then
you're from the South.
And now
people are going to think you're stupid anyway.
Greg Monroe is not playing as much. Like they're bringing him off the bench some.
Greg Monroe sucks.
He
is an average NBA player. I guess he doesn't suck, but he's just average.
He is so like you watch games and he's so dominant finishing around the rim.
But he doesn't really shoot that well.
He doesn't
around the
do.
Rim.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you catch him and. You watch a game, you're like, man, that was like he seemed to like take this game over.
You know,
and then other games,
lies.
You're like, he's just standing in there clogging everything.
You know, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Right.
With Greg Monroe, there aren't. His stats are exactly who he is.
Yeah.
He's a really inefficient big man.
So, like, pivoting from that to what Jason Kidd's doing, and everyone's praising Jason Kidd for this Giannis.
Jason
point
Kidd's
guard.
Collecting debts and breaking kneecaps.
I just don't get why did they wait so long to do this? I mean, 10
Oh, they got
weeks
forced
ago.
Into it. The MC Dub injury did it.
And I don't even think. part of me is confused at what they're doing, because it seems like they'll find the answer to something and they'll have a really good offensive game and they'll win, and then they'll come back with some random lineup the next game. Right. It seems like you didn't draw any conclusions from how well your team played the last two games.
Jason Kidd bets on basketball.
Yeah. Allegedly.
The only thing that can make these lineups make sense. And how he waffles indiscriminately from genius coach to prattling buffoon.
Yeah. I also want to mention, also in the East, as that playoff race is heating up. Again, the Western Conference playoff race is just, it's poor. The Blazers are a happy story. They're playing well. Dame Lillard has been incredible post All-Star break.
But stories in the East to me are Raptors and Dame Lillard. They're the most impressive things since the All-Star break.
Yeah. So the Raptors have pulled ahead. I mean, they're running away with it, and they're pretty much locking down that two seed.
And they're getting Damari Carroll back.
Who do you think, though, along the bottom? I want to mention the Hornets coming together. Kemba Walker has, I believe, led the NBA in PER since the All-Star break.
You mustn't like that very much. You're not a Kemba Walker enthusiast.
I almost want to apologize, because Kemba Walker has been
great,
fantastic this year. And yeah. I think our preseason podcast, I was talking about how I'm just not a fan. I wouldn't want that guy to be my point guard on my team.
Yeah, four,
and he's definitely changed my opinion.
He's got four straight games of 30-plus, which is the longest streak for a Hornet since Glenn Rice had 40. In 97.
Anytime you can drop a Glenn Rice reference,
well,
I'm into
because
it.
He had sex with Sarah Palin.
The Palin destroyer.
Yeah, Nayland Palin. But they did have a big fourth quarter finish to beat Philadelphia the other night. That kind of was interesting to watch. Courtney Lee's playing well for him.
Courtney Lee's doing nothing.
No, he had 16 points the other night.
Yeah, I'm saying like throw a parade, Chuck.
Yeah,
Courtney Lee has done literally nothing on the Hornets. Like PJ Harrison and him have almost the exact same numbers.
Locker room guy.
Like post trade, he's a good guy to have around.
Courtney Lee was a friendly face for the Grizz.
Right,
he was.
And he had that one last second shot. I'll never forget.
That was a great shot.
Courtney Lee.
You mean the day Chase Buddy Bunger was born?
That's right.
That was the day.
You know, Courtney Lee, I think, led the league in what appeared to be a gruesome injury and was not hurt at all. That guy was made of sinew
that,
and rubber.
That used to be Vince Carter. Used to have that on lockdown.
Not anymore.
They looked like he got shot by a sniper rifle.
Now Vince Carter,
it turned out he was totally
has
okay.
The record for simultaneously looking like the most Wire characters at once, depending on the light.
He is both Cheese and Cuddy.
Yes, he's Method Man and Cuddy. And if you catch him in the right light, kind of got a fat Prop Joe thing going sometimes.
Prop Joe and Atkins.
Sometimes he looks like a Perez Belusky.
That's perfect. All right, now it is time for the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. It is given to the worst performance in a box score.
It's quite a week.
Quite a week. We have a couple honorable mentions.
Some Warriors.
Surprising honorable mentions. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. But to the actual award, we have four nominees as they occurred chronologically through the week. Ersan Ilyasova.
Getting illy.
Getting illy, indeed.
Turkish Turkey.
In a loss to the Suns, 2-for-14.
Oui.
5 points, 12 boards.
He also got one of the most humiliating three-pointers in his face from Steph Curry this week.
It might have been the Steph Curry shot of the year. The one that he did on Chris Paul last year was the Steph Curry three of the year.
Right.
And then Ersan did the... I don't even know if you... Do you even feel bad? I feel like you don't even feel bad when that happens.
I don't think Ersan Ilyasova feels bad.
Silent assassin.
That's a different breed of human.
Right. I'm not talking about basketball.
No.
All right. Our next nominee was the man that Chuck tried to buddy up to by apologizing.
Mm.
D'Angelo Russell. You might be playing good for a Laker, but you did have a Ishopian performance and a loss to the Hawks. 3-for-16, 7 points, 5 assists, 5 turnovers.
Yeesh.
Not great. Reggie Jackson, who hasn't been around as much this year, but in a loss to the New York Knicks, Reggie went 3-for-17, 8 points, 6 assists, 4 turnovers.
Keep chopping wood, Tyrone Biggums.
And finally, Shelvin Mack, who the Atlanta Hawks, I maintained when we were trying to explain the trade to Utah, I suggested they might have been doing him a solid. And then I actually heard Kevin Pelton say the same thing, that like they hooked him up.
Right.
But or maybe it was Kevin Arnovitz. Some Kevin employed by ESPN.
A statistician.
Right.
Statistician.
So Shelvin Mack, against his old Hawks teammates, pulled out a 2-for-13.
He got his own head there.
In a loss to the Hawks, in a loss that helped me jump off the Jazz bandwagon, finally.
He wanted to show Dennis Schroeder and Kurt Heinrich what was up, and he failed.
He was 2-for-13, 5 points, did have 7 boards, 4 assists, and 3 turnovers. So we have Ersan, 2-for-14, D'Angelo, 3-for-16, 5 turnovers, Reggie Jackson, 3-for-17, 4 turnovers, Shelvin Mack, 2-for-13.
I'm going to go with that brown sugar baby, D'Angelo.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with that Mark Morrison. Return of the Mac.
That's one of my top 5 favorite songs. I've woken up Keith's baby with that track.
I was honestly leaning towards Reggie Jackson,
man.
But so I'm going to throw that out. So I'll pick between D'Angelo and Shelvin.
I just picked Shelvin so I could sing
5 turnovers.
Return of the Mac.
The 5 turnovers is bad for D'Angelo. Shelvin Mack. There's the extra of him not sticking it to his old team.
Right.
But maybe it was one of those.
You're crafting a narrative here.
Maybe it was. Yeah, and that's not
easy,
in the box score.
Stephen King. This is about numbers.
It's kind of like the Premier League guys not celebrating when they score against their former clubs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll go, I think D'Angelo Russell. May this be one of many. May this be your first of many.
I like it when Chuck pumps up a player and then we give him the eye shop too. I think that's pretty cool.
That works too.
That's perfect style. So congratulations, D'Angelo, on your International Stackhouse of Pancakes.
I love your new videos. Yeah. I love them.
All right.
How does it feel
to win an eye shop?
All right, gentlemen.
Got me.
The par fadeaway. Before we get to the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials, what are we looking forward to this week?
Take it away, Chuck.
Well, it wasn't something ahead, but it was something that just...
Well, I'm looking forward to Matt Barnes' response to this.
Oh, there has been a response. So Derek Fisher penned for The Cauldron, which is a Sports Illustrated...
The Cauldron is a great...
spinoff. It's a great...
Cover the NBA really well.
He wrote his own piece called Truth, and he is setting the record straight on his tenure with the New York Knicks and the Matt Barnes quote-unquote situation. It goes into salacious detail of what happened in his relationship.
Really, though.
Not really, but his relationship with his now girlfriend.
He tries to
Gloria
play the feminist
Gorn,
card, which is funny.
It was kind of funny. She's not a pawn in this game.
I will say the feminist card was the only part about it I actually accepted.
Yeah, that was actually the
because
only part
that was the
game.
Most
as designed.
No, but
by
saying,
his PR team.
I don't believe a word this man Derek Fisher says.
No,
but
that's why I hired Michael.
One
Clinton.
Of the most troubling things of the Matt Barnes assault was the Matt Barnes talking about the woman as if.
Right.
She's not free to do what she wants.
Right. That was a problem. And so
Matt Barnes is the correct answer.
Whatever happened, Derek Fisher.
Don't make him get up.
Penned a, whether you believe his story or not, a balanced and well crafted letter in response to his firing from the New
cute.
York Knicks.
I think it's cute that you think he wrote that. That's really cute.
I know he did.
He had free time.
He isn't working. Now, in response, this is from last night. Mark D'Amico tweeted and has now deleted the tweet.
Oh, yes.
Quote, this is how...
The internet's forever.
It's everything. Quote, fan just yelled, "Hey, Barnes, how's Derek Fisher?" Barnes yells back, "During play," quote, "He got his ass whooped. That's how."
Genius. And then his Instagram, he posts a picture of him basking in the windows of a plane with an old fashioned and like a
right.
$3,000 suit, and it just says, "Don't make me get up."
Derek Fisher has lied to get out of contracts. He had contracts voided.
The players got rid of him as the union rep.
And as a player, he finagled his way out of Utah. I think he maybe somewhere else. Didn't he like leave Dallas too under weird circumstances?
Fake retired once.
Yeah.
Well, that was his kid being sick. He left Utah.
But then he picked up with a championship contender, you know, claiming this is closer to the family.
Right.
And then also, the whole players union thing where
he
got
Chris Paul punch his ball bag.
maybe he has. I don't know.
Well, we've gone on record as being anti-Derek Fisher on this podcast.
We are pro Matt Barnes.
We love Matt Barnes. We have chased Matt Barnes in the streets of Memphis.
Matt Barnes is cooler than Barack Obama.
That's really saying something.
Yeah, man.
I guess the thing I'm looking forward to is, can the Pistons catch the Bulls, or can the Wizards catch the Bulls, or are the Bulls going to try?
What team do you want to see out of those three in the playoffs? I think there's a correct answer.
For me, are we picking between
those three?
If we had to pick between those three, yeah. I want to see the Pistons.
Absolutely.
The Wizards.
Because yeah. Stan Van can put together, like, Stan Van could steal a series.
I feel like the Wizards are back to Jared Dudley and not Markieff. Like, Markieff Morris has struggled.
Yeah.
Marcus struggled.
Right.
We still aren't sure which one is in Wizards is in Washington.
And Chicago are plagued with similar problems, and that's in the coaching.
They
Fred Hoiberg's nuts have not dropped as an NBA coach.
It's like
he's
transition.
Not yelling at people yet still. He hasn't gotten a technical yet.
He can't button his top button because of his heart. That man shouldn't be yelling at people.
Look, this is the job.
If you have a medical excuse to not wear a tie, maybe you shouldn't be an NBA
He makes
coach.
His assistants get technicals.
I'm just saying health-wise. I'm not putting down the fashion. I'm a man, you know.
You don't think Rhett Auerbach got a heart condition every goddamn day?
I dress slovenly. Yes. Oh, yeah, but Rhett had a regimen of Glenn Livett to keep that old ticker
right.
ticking.
Three fingers, Glenn Livett.
Yeah. I miss Rhett Auerbach. I miss Johnny Most. I want to hang out with Johnny Most, Tommy Heinsohn, Rhett Auerbach, and
Jack Ramsey.
Larry Bird, Dr. Jack Ramsey, and I want to have a schwitz with them.
That would be great. We go to a hot bath and a Turkish bath in Astoria, Queens.
Dude,
we get hit with oak leaves.
I'm not, you should follow at Fast Break Break, and I should have tweeted this as at Fast Break Break, but I stumbled onto a photo on Twitter where it's Michael Jordan angrily playing ping pong against someone, obviously having bet thousands of dollars on it. In the background, Larry Bird is just sitting on the ground smoking a cigarette and has like 10 cash Budweisers around him.
Those were the days. That's your...
Oh, yeah.
That's your heaven.
It was wonderful.
Nope. All right, so thanks for listening. Stick around for the Grizz epilogue. Follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Rabble.tv. And remember, you guys can also use Rabble to call any game, to mute ESPN, mute John Barry, and do your own call of games there. We will let you know when we are doing our next one. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials.
You sound somber.
If you aren't, I'm not somber yet. I'm going to tell you about Fan Essentials.
That was a somber opening.
If you
bring it back up with a little fan box.
Yeah. So get yourself a fan box from Fan Essentials to cheer yourself up, Grizzlies fans. Go to fanessentials.net. Get the rookie. You might need the veteran box. I'm just telling you right now. And use code FBBF to get a discount and to send a couple bucks.
Give us some money, y'all.
Get all the essentials you need at fanessentials.net. Yes.
Chuck needs a new tattoo. He's got some space opening up. He's getting fatter.
I'm gaining mass.
You need a face tattoo.
It's all that muscle milk.
It is a somber Grizz epilogue because the fun goon squad, just like that, one man got shivved, man down.
Man.
We didn't realize how important that man was until he slipped in the shower.
I knew that he Mario Chalmers is the only one that could really dribble the ball for you if Mike Conley's out. So.
Thank God.
This is the broken record of the Fast Break Breakfast Grizz epilogue
mm-hmm.
is you have to have backup point guards and you have to have centers. They're the only positions you have to have several of.
Right.
And the Grizzlies have not, like, they went the whole year without doing it, and now we hit worst case scenario.
We collect other people's shooting guard trash.
Yeah.
Instead of the
Ryan Hollins now.
So, can we talk about Ryan Hollins for like a solid 30 seconds and never mention his name again?
Yeah, okay.
He's bottom five least favorite Grizzly.
It's the opposite of the lifetime.
I know I should have apathy towards him, but he plays so much.
He is a 7-foot guy who plays like he's 6'8".
Yeah.
So
like
hell.
He doesn't do the things. He doesn't protect the rim.
6'8" players can catch well the ball enough. Usually.
He plays like he has a heart murmur or something. He is
again
pathetic.
With the heart.
I'm life experience.
But then you think of all the people that have been like multiple people have been cut for him.
Yeah.
Like
James Ennis.
Like James Ennis and Russ Smith.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Are cut. Like they didn't just cut one person. They did because then they had to keep bringing them back. Like they because all these Heat guys we got have all died. I guess it's now even. I guess the Mario Chalmers trade is now even.
Yeah.
No one, ladies and gentlemen, no one from the Mario Chalmers trade is playing in the NBA this year.
Mm.
Now everyone is dead. It's like freaking Final Destination. Like everyone.
He really found a way to
get
a lot of pieces there, didn't they?
Well, you guys always have Briante Weber to look forward to.
Hey, so
is that a boy or a girl? Briante.
Yeah.
Briante Weber, Peter Edmondson of the Grizzlies tweeted that Briante Weber had a 19-13-19 line in the D League, and I got crazy fired up, and then it turned out that was a typo. He just was 19-13-9, which is fine, but I always thought this guy was throwing up 19 assists in a game.
No.
And I was like, give me some of that. But apparently, this guy's a combo guard who's going to be signed. It's been reported by Yahoo that he's going to be signed as part of the injury exception, but the Grizzlies had to wait for all of their hurt players to all have missed three games. Like Birdman hadn't missed three games yet, so you're not even eligible to get the extra guy. And now they need another extra guy. They don't even have, like, they're pulling up a D League guy to dribble to be their point guard.
Yeah.
And then you have Lance Stephenson, and that's it.
Ugh.
You still need, here's the horror story.
One of those two people have to be on the court at all times.
No, that's one of the horror stories. The other horror story is you need a backup.
Yeah.
Like, they are down to no dribblers.
Yeah.
That's staggering.
Well.
Oh, Lance Stephenson will dribble.
Oh, that man loves it.
He dribbles like a little kid, like over his head.
Powers his soul.
What he fails to do, dribbling is the part that's fun to watch. What's awful to watch is when he's trying to attempt any shot near the rim. It's almost like he's doing some sort of like jackass stunt where he's trying to fall.
Like, if I were to compare our games to different players, I would compare Keith to like Kurt Rambis. And then I would compare yours to a slow Lance Stephenson.
Slow, fat Lance Stephenson. It's very similar.
I think we're having too much recency bias. He was really bad in the Celtics game.
Yeah.
He was great. He was outperforming Jeff Green
mm-hmm.
ever since we got him for Jeff Green.
I am on record.
Oh, I
Lance
know.
Stephenson contract for life. Memphis Grizzlies contract.
There's
for
no
life.
Question. You are
he
right.
Is hysterical.
But I'm saying he is shooting, you know, a good percentage. And again, we went from apex Grizzlies season of beating the Cavs and when
that's
you know
great,
when there was no hope, and now we've turned it all the way to now Chalmers is out and now there's nothing. Yeah. So
yeah, that's a hell of an injury when it can erase the beauty that was that Cavs victory.
And it really truly ends. We'd already kind of given up on the year, mm-hmm. but we'd gotten so enamored with the random
roster.
Cast of characters.
What's the official injury?
That we thought
Achilles popped. It just came across the wire.
They finally got the
is
MRI.
It's a torn Achilles.
And that is terrible.
Yeah.
And that's probably the worst basketball injury.
And they also waived him. So he's no longer on the team.
That makes sense. You have to.
Holy hell.
Yeah. So that's just him.
That
heartbreaking news.
Mm-hmm. So,
he
should be on Miami Heat's squad next year, I would assume.
Well, honestly, so if you want to...
I don't want to talk anymore.
This is kind of sad.
That is really sad that he got waived, but you have to.
Yeah, there's
it was him or Birdman, and they're hoping Birdman comes back. Mm-hmm.
That is cold-blooded.
Yep, he will miss the remainder of the season. This is per...
He was one of the most compelling stories of the Grizzlies.
So, I know this is... We don't normally break news on a pre-taped thing, what we're doing.
Yeah.
But... So, if they waive him, they lose bird rights.
Mm-hmm.
And retaining the bird rights for Mario Chalmers is a big deal.
Yeah.
I was, honestly, before you said that, before you brought that news up, I was going to play like the really jaded, cynical, positive spin of this.
Right.
Is Mario Chalmers got hurt. He's a free agent to be. Now the Grizzlies will have an advantage in re-signing him and can sign him for cheaper.
Yeah.
You and Robert Parra's lawyer are not of two minds.
Mm-hmm.
But
that guy is a madman.
Yeah,
and that is the worst news.
So now the Grizzlies have no bird rights for Chalmers, and obviously Mike Conley is a unrestricted free agent.
Did Chris Broussard report that? I'm still looking for a silver lining.
It seems to be verified.
Do not know who. No, this is Hoops Rumors. This is Eddie Scarrito.
Well, I'm done. I'm taking off my headphones. So that's too depressing.
What do you think is left for the Grizzlies this season?
They're probably gonna limp into the 8th.
They're going to make
seed?
The playoff. I
am so crestfallen.
John's like,
they're 10 games up.
What's happened now is the tears from John's eye have collided to the glistening on
they
sweat
are
on
so
his upper lip.
They are salty. They are 9 games ahead of the Jazz with 18 games left.
So they are clearly picking up a point guard
playoffs
too, as well.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get extra players.
Who?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. you have
Keith to pick somebody.
Rayon, whoever. I don't have no idea. I'd honestly have to look like into the D League.
I'm pissed that we didn't go after Andre Miller. Now
you have to have guys who weren't on an NBA roster as of March 1st.
Right.
Oh, this sucks.
So you have to have guys who were D League, who were overseas.
There's one person I can think of would fit right in with this team.
Nick
Baron
Kalathis.
Davis.
You guys are both wrong.
What?
Delonte West. Reclamation project. You can get him for.
I want the black Chuck Anderson that is Baron Davis on the team.
Can we dust off Luke Ridenour? We traded for him this summer.
No, he retired. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He got so butthurt he retired.
Yeah.
No matter
that's
what,
like a,
though,
that's like a me move.
Big,
like,
oh, likes me big picture. It's nothing you do will help you. So. Your signing will
quit
leave you.
Quit enjoying this.
Yeah. Chuck's out.
You stole Diamond
deal?
Rio from me, and
I
got
nothing.
We didn't
steal him. You guys gave him away.
You gave him away to save money.
And we actually made out in the deal. It seems like we won that trade now.
You won that trade. Now that everyone has died,
remember when I told you I was rooting for the Heat?
Not anymore.
I was lying.
I'm sorry.
I'm honestly
kill you last.
As a Grizzlies fan, I'm honestly pretty sad with, I mean, not just the injury, but the idea of losing the bird rights. I mean, I don't know if there was any chance that Chalmers wanted to stay in Memphis.
Or what's he going to be when he comes back? I mean, that kind of injury is going to take a long time for him to recover. He wasn't an explosive player to begin with.
I mean, it's no, I mean, it's a year injury.
Sorry,
it's typically a year injury, yeah. And so that
so
takes
he's
him,
not going to be ready until close to playoff time next year.
His game does rely on a lot of bursts, especially that patented steal he pulls out.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw him, it was against Jeremy Lin at the height of insanity.
Yeah.
And they were like, ooh, he just got owned by Mario Chalmers. Maybe this isn't real.
You know who owned Jeremy Lin? That was the warden. That was Joel Anthony.
Joel
he
Anthony.
He blew up pick and rolls. Yep. He killed him. Anyway, so yeah, poor.
So that's
yeah, those are fouls, Chuck.
That is the dark end to the Grizzlies epilogue. As
yeah, this is the darkest timeline.
It really is. I mean, losing Mario Chalmers is one thing, and now he's off the roster. Now they're going to scramble for a D League point. I know some people have been confused and think they should bring up Andrew Harrison, but you can't bring up
if
guys.
If I told you Stevenson would be a very important Grizzly this year, what would you have told me?
If you would have said that your season will, you will lose all hope for enjoying watching this season when Mario Chalmers goes down and the ball is just handed over to Lance Stevenson, I would have just been like, what?
You're a liar.
I would have assumed we would have traded Mike Conley for multiple draft picks.
Yep.
Anyway.
Okay, I don't want to talk anymore.
Thank you guys for listening. That was your Grizz epilogue. We are all down.
Memphis
you guys
will
are
be
best.
In you next week.
Oh, yeah. And we were coming to Memphis next Wednesday. That's something we should have parfaited away. We'll see you for the Raptors. I mean, for the T-Wolves game.
No Raptors.
I'm going to see Big Cat. I'm seeing Porzingis and Big Cat.
We're more
year.
Into bad teams than good teams.
Mm-hmm. That's how we do it. Wednesday night. Weekends are for suckers.
Yes, sir.
We're coming midweek. All right, you guys have a good one. Talk to you later.
Arrive safely.